With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
I think this week is kind of going to be the judge of that, because in typical Patriots fashion, this would be like the Molly Whop week, right? Where it's like a lot of hype. Everybody's not buying them. They just are coming off a loss, and they just thrash the Kansas City Chiefs this week. That's general Belichick, Tom Brady type of action. And honestly, Covey, I think that's what's going to happen. I think the Patriots kind of nuke them this week and just kind of and just kind of let everybody know, like, this is Pops.
Do the Patriots have the firepower offensively to nuke a team like the Chiefs right now?
I think that the defense just shows out. I think that this defense, I mean, it is one of the best in the league, right?
Okay, my counter to that is, what offense would you rather buy stock in, the Texans or the Chiefs?
Ooh, that's a good question. Probably the Chiefs, right?
Okay.
Yeah. Pat.
Texans rolled on them last week. We were able to move the rock.
Mm.
Just saying.
Just they play so well coming off a loss. Time and time again,
you know what?
We doubt them.
So
we
it's
doubt
so
them.
Funny that you say that, because I actually, when I was on the throne earlier this week, I decided to look into that, and I looked for some articles out there. Mm. It's actually about the same.
Really?
Like Bill Belichick's percentage, in any, a random game versus just coming off of a loss. Coming off a loss versus his overall record. The dude, they basically go like 11.5 wins every year on average. Like, that's kind of who they are. And it's basically the same winning percentage following a loss. The reality is they just don't lose that much.
True.
So, of course, they're pretty good off a loss because they rarely lose one game, let alone two.
Yeah.
Right? So, yeah, they are good. And sure, like, great football teams bounce back, right?
I feel like
Chiefs
every
good, though.
Every year we get sucked into this, the rabbit hole of if the Patriots, like, are they done? Like, is it done?
Well, when the Ravens beat them in the NFC title game in the 2012 season, in the AFC title game, it was like, oh, damn, is this the end? And all Tom Brady's
got the
done
nail
is,
in the coffin.
Yeah,
the
won
Patriots
three Super Bowls
signed.
Since then.
It's, so to me, until it doesn't happen, I'm not there yet. Like, I just think that it's so easy. And, I'm a Miami Dolphins fan. The Patriots are our division rival. We play them. They've been done this in my face for years now. My entire life, literally, Covey. I haven't lived a life where the Patriots haven't been at the top.
Right.
And I've just been conditioned to sit back and just say, like, yeah, everybody's counting out the Patriots. It's easy to do. I've lost a lot of money doing it, right? And time again, they just dominate. I mean, it's just step on everybody, right?
Bears whooped up on the Patriots in Super Bowl 20, 46-10. Just want to make that abundantly clear for everybody. Super Bowl Shuffle, second reference of the show. You're welcome. Look, Tom Brady, though, and this is no knock on Tom Brady. Like, he's 42. Tom Brady's my age, okay? Mm-hmm. Like, and he's still playing quarterback, all right? Like,
that offense looks a little clunky.
It looks a lot clunky. Mm-hmm. They haven't had a 100-yard rusher all year. James White looked good last week, but, they were in catch-up throw mode all game. Tom Brady was terrible in the first half, and then, the Texans went into that stupid prevent defense the same way the Bears did against the Cowboys, the other night. And, Dak Prescott ends up throwing for 220 yards in the fourth quarter. There was a little bit of that for Brady. All I'm saying is Tom Brady's looked a little more human the last couple of months, and the last couple of weeks in particular, but it's not a knock. Like, he's not supposed to, he should have, the normal player retires 5 years ago.
So he's been kind of like a god, and now he's a human. Is that the way you're putting it?
Yeah, maybe when Superman kind of lost his powers a little bit, but he could always go right back in that little crystal booth, and go get him back, and then
you
go into the diner.
Superman's losing his powers, but you still don't want to see him in one-on-one.
Well, and then he could come back in the diner and beat up the white trash trucker dude and spin him around on the chair really fast. Remember when he did that? The same guy that beat him up when he didn't have his powers?
No.
You never seen that? All right. Am I alone on that? Ryan, you know what I'm talking about?
Ryan's just laughing at you, shaking his head.
It's all right. Somebody out there
Mouser.
Feels me. When Superman lost his powers, and then he went into the diner, and the dude whooped his ass because the dude was getting fresh with Lois Lane. But then Superman got his powers back, and then he went back in the diner.
He's going after Superman's lady?
Right. And then, but he went back later when he had his powers back, and he blipped the dude up, and he spun him around on the chair. And he went, it was really tight.
So do you see the Patriots doing that? After a loss, they went and they got their crystals.
This
or whatever,
will be a close game.
Going back into the diner?
This will be a close game.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, it's going to hinge on how much success Mahomes can have against the Patriots' defense. I think Tom Brady's offensive ceiling right now, even against a defense like the Chiefs, probably 24 points, 20 to 24 points.
Just because we're on the subject, I'm truly interested because it's hard for me. Like, I try to fade the hype a little bit, right? Try to see the picture a little bit more clear. And the Chiefs and the Ravens, like, if there's a throne to the AFC, do you have a pick there?
I mean, as far as...
Like, who's taking over that? Like, if the Patriots are really dead...
Yeah, the Ravens.
It's the Ravens, no doubt.
I mean, it's the Ravens or the Texans for me. And then, the Chiefs.
Then the Chiefs. Yeah. See, I wasn't even including the Texans.
Just Deshaun Watson, baby.
Yeah,
those three teams. It's a three-horse race for sure. All right. Coming up on the other side, we'll talk to John DeShazier. He's the writer for NewOrleansSaints.com. We'll talk about just what that Superdome vibe is going to be like. It shall be ruckus. We'll ask him about Drew Brees and who I think is the best wide receiver in professional football. Michael Thomas. And we'll do it next.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right. We're just moseying along. It's Ryan Covey and Tommy Call. Yes, yes, y'all.
Bobby's giving us the smooth stuff tonight.
Because Bobby's smooth.
He is.
Bobby's
I like the way
thing.
He moves. Yeah.
You like the way he moves?
Yeah.
We're going to queue up. Was it I like the way you move.
Nah.
Do, do, do. Remember that song?
No, I don't. I don't like him anymore. Sorry, Bobby.
Oh, like that. All right. We're going to try and connect with John DeShazier in a hot second and try and get him on the line. The environment in New Orleans. I heard Michael Irvin on with Damon earlier this week, and this just tells you all you need to know from a dude that did it.
I told people, out of all the places in the world, I'd rather play anywhere except New Orleans because it's so hard to hear in that dome. But you got a run game, stick to the run game, and limit the pass, and you'll have an opportunity.
Saints number three against the run, Tommy. So easier said than done.
How do you think the city of New Orleans and the state of Louisiana is ranking like their sports superstars right now? Like Joe Burrow, Ed Orgeron, are they 1-2 to Drew Brees right now?
Roseanne, what? You.
That's the greatest sound I've ever heard. I don't know. I don't live there. I'd have to live there to really know.
I just have to imagine. I have to imagine that Coach O. I mean, we love him here in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Right?
If I could, superstar.
Yeah, if I could play for anybody. Like, he's up there with, like I'd put Coach O ahead of Mike Leach, but, like, just guys that I would just love to, like, go out and have a few pops with and just, like, listen to tell football stories.
Yeah.
Like,
John Calipari's that guy for me.
Okay.
When it comes to basketball.
Okay.
Yeah. I'd love to hear some Coach Cal stories. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be pretty good, actually.
Yeah. Behind the scenes, have a few pops, like you said.
Yeah.
He's always number one to me. I'm a Kentucky fan,
Kentucky.
Too.
So, all right. So, yeah. I'm with that.
Yeah.
Good hair, too.
Yeah.
Nice, smooth, slick back. By the way, we got a little bit of breaking news in college football. Lane Kiffin's got a new home, bro.
It's not right that he's out of the state of Florida.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So, obviously, head coach of the Florida Atlantic Owls for the last few years. He had an Ole Miss. All right.
Hottie toddy.
Yeah, let's go. Ole Miss is one of those programs to me that, like, I feel like they get talked about like they're a top program,
yeah.
But like, what do they ever actually win?
It's weird because they're recruiting like every year. We talk about a top kid from Ole Miss in the draft, right? They always have studs, but the wins and losses are always kind of out of whack.
Yeah, and one thing Lane Kiffin is renowned for, other than kind of being a jackass,
I love his trolling.
Really good recruiting.
Yeah, when he trolls Saban, though, it's hilarious.
Yeah, he just seems like Lane Kiffin. He just seems so smug, and one of the more unlikable guys that you would encounter.
Yeah.
I just, when he was in the Bay, and I get it, he was young, and look, when he had to deal with Al Davis and all that, I'm not going to hold Lane Kiffin, that against Lane Kiffin. Al Davis, towards the end, was kind of losing it, okay? But some of the stuff that he did since then, like when he went to Tennessee, he's like, we're going to sing old Rocky Top all night. No, until SC calls, and I'm out, bro. Like,
yeah.
And I get it, it's a business, and hey, Tennessee to SC, okay, fair enough, but obviously, that didn't go well in SC. And, dude, when he had that promotional video for Florida Atlantic, I don't know if you remember this, like the recruiting video, and he's like, we're going to have a great season. We're looking for, like, it was supposedly like a Florida Atlantic hype video. I don't know if you remember this. But it basically sounded like he was being held captive, and it was like a message to his family. They're treating me well. They give me 3 meals a day. I'm safe, and I hope to be able to get home soon. It was like, it was so awkward. It was like, his spirit had been doused, you know. But hey, he's, I guess, you know, Brought his stock back up, and
where does,
now here he is.
Where does kind of this weekend, you know, it's college football championship weekend. We have the games going on right behind it. Where does that kind of register for you on the radar? Like, are you making time to watch any of these games type of thing?
Yeah, I mean, look, college football and I, we have a complicated relationship. Like, I do enjoy college football, not anywhere near as much as I enjoy pro football.
Yeah.
I'm a big Florida State fan. And
They got their new coach.
Yeah, but Florida State hasn't been good the last couple years.
Yeah.
And because the Willie Taggart experience, awful. Mm. Okay? And it's been hard because outside of that, you know, I'll root for Cal and, you know, I'll watch big games and
you
I
root
love.
Root for LSU. You got it, right?
Of course. Well, yeah. I mean, come on, man. Let's
roll
go.
That what? F*** you.
I mean, I'm in on that. But, like, for the most part, it's hard for me. There's only so many hours in the day, right?
I hear you.
And
yeah.
I know you're a big draft guy, and come draft time, I'll start to really get in. I like watching, you know, clips of guys, the YouTube clicks, et cetera, guys that are going to be
for sure
prospects. And, you know, hey, come college football playoffs, I'm watching that. I'm not watching the freaking, you know, the Outback
the Cheez-It Bowl.
I'm not watching any of that garbage. I just don't care. When there's literally nothing riding on the result other than, like, boosters making scratch and sponsors getting money, like, I just don't care. And I'm happy for the players. Like, okay, cool, you got to play in a quote-unquote bowl. But there's so many irrelevant games. And then there's just so many games where it's like, you know, we already know what the outcome's going to be.
No doubt.
I don't need to watch Alabama trounce a team 58 to nothing. That's not exciting to me. It's not what I want to spend my Saturday doing.
The bowl season, yeah, I'm happy you brought that up because it holds a special place in my heart. Do you remember this was a couple years ago when I was younger. It always marked to me as the arrival of like Christmas season and the holidays when the bowl commercial, like the bowl season, and it was like a jingle bell, like football, but it had guys like getting hit, and it was like the bowl season commercial on ESPN. I know some people out there have to be remembering that right now. To me, that's like the mark of like, wow, it's Christmas time. Like it's time for the holidays when that bowl football jingle bell commercial came on.
Oh,
I don't
for sure.
think they have it anymore, but
no, I know what you're talking about.
Fantastic commercial.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like, I do remember the commercial, but that's the thing. Bowl season equates to holiday season, which equates to football is coming down the home stretch, and we're going to get playoffs soon. So a lot of those things bring Ryan joy, and I love the fact that there's a college football playoff now. I would actually like, I know everybody's all about eight teams. I would actually like to see six, five power conferences, and then one more at-large bid, okay?
I hear you, yeah.
And the top two seeds get a bye, just like in the NFL, right? That way, the regular season matters, and you're playing for something. And if you're not one of the six best teams in college football, because somebody's always going to get left out, somebody's always on the bubble, but if you're not definitively like one of the top six, that means you weren't one of the top four. That means you would have been lucky to just to be there anyway.
Well, and I agree with you because there's no argument there, right? Like, it's the power five conferences and that one at large. Like, that's really like, there's no argument. Like, that would be perfect. Nobody would really be complaining. The fact that it's four, you always have that one team. Like, if Utah would have won last night, you could have made an argument that Utah deserved to be in over a team like Oklahoma, which people are, but, you know, that's irrelevant now, but still, like, I completely agree with you.
Yeah, and so hopefully they'll adopt that. And then that way, it's more one-and-done games, right? You know, another round of games. There's more urgency there because that's, I mean, come on, man. Like, we get it. Like, the four, you know, Final Four. Bonte Hill and I went to the very first college football playoff game ever, Florida State and Oregon, down at the Rose Bowl. Mm. Like, the result wasn't great for Florida State. Yeah. That didn't work out. But, like, the experience was dope. It's like, you get Florida State versus Oregon on the West Coast. Like,
I've been to one Rose Bowl before, too.
Yeah.
And Drew Brees, actually.
Oh, nice.
Purdue, yeah. Purdue
oh,
versus Washington.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I had some family that played.
It's a deep track.
I was just a young kid.
Yeah,
very
young. Well, of course. Yeah, it was Drew Brees was playing at Purdue.
It's cool to think back on that now. Number 15, Drew Brees. We're number 15 in college. I don't know. That always stuck with me.
Drew Brees, I think he's had a pretty good career for himself. Yeah. And the 49ers are going to see that guy tomorrow. Speaking of Drew Brees, I'm glad you brought him up because, you know, obviously getting to Drew Brees is going to be important in this game. And I think, you know, we see Drew Brees, he's kind of been able, based on the way that he plays the quarterback position, I think he's been able to kind of extend his career.
Yeah.
Like, you know, obviously the rules are conducive towards protecting the quarterback. But what I think Sean Payton's done the last few years, making sure that they've got more of a sound running game. Because for years, I mean, you know, they had some good running backs. I know he had Reggie Bush for a spell. But there was a stretch where the Saints' backfield wasn't great. And then, you know, you end up with guys like Alvin Kamara. And then they had Mark Ingram for a number of years. Remember, Mark Ingram's first few years was not good in the league, and it was a lot of Drew Brees throwing 40, 50 times a game because the Saints' defense was awful and Drew Brees needed to put up all those gaudy numbers just to give them an opportunity to win. Well, the last couple of years, their defense has been a lot better. They got guys like Cameron Jordan, and they even drafted Marcus Davenport in the first round last year. He's got, what, like six sacks this year? Got Marshawn Lattimore.
I was not a fan of him in the draft process either.
Neither was I, but he's been okay, right? Yeah. They got Marshawn Lattimore, and you know, obviously they got some good linebackers. They're going to be out tomorrow. A.J. Klein and
Kiko Alonso.
Yeah, Kiko Alonso, yeah, the former Dolphin. But either way, that defense is pretty stout. So they've built actually a good running game and a good defense, so Drew Brees doesn't have to throw the ball 40 times a game. You can actually, you know, have a little bit easier game plan. That way he's not susceptible to taking all these hits, and it makes the passing game more dangerous with the play action, et cetera. So I think Drew Brees has been able to extend his career. And Drew Brees, you know, he's not the biggest guy. I really admire Drew Brees. And Butch and I go back and forth on the Butcher Shop where he always just throws shade at Drew Brees. I'm like, yeah, well, Drew Brees won a Super Bowl. He's like, yeah, like 10 years ago. Okay. He still won the damn Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And the thing I like about Drew Brees, he's one of those guys, Tommy, that is an overachiever to me. Like, based on what his projected career arc was supposed to be versus what he actually has become. And, like, the San Diego Charger Drew Brees, he was like an average quarterback at best, right? And when
people thought his career.
Yeah, the shoulder injury.
Think about the Dolphins. Like, that story will never be unsaid that they picked Dante Culpepper, Nick Saban.
Right.
You know, picked him because they didn't think Drew Brees was going to.
The shoulder
injury
didn't pass the physical.
Yeah, that was the biggest reason where Sean Payton and the Saints at the time were like, no, we're going to take a chance. It was a gamble.
And, you know, the 2020 hindsight is always a fun game to play. I mean, come on. Like, you know, nobody knew that Drew Brees was going to do what he was going to do. Nobody knew.
Become a Hall of Fame quarterback.
Right, yeah, literally the most passing yards in NFL history. But I really enjoy Drew Brees, A, because I just like the way Drew Brees goes about his business, what he did down in New Orleans after Katrina and just helped resurrecting the spirit of that city.
For sure.
That whole region was incredible. And, you know, when them finally punching the ticket and winning the Super Bowl the way they did, I root for the underdog, man. And Drew Brees, you know, based on what we thought he was going to be as a quarterback, kind of the underdog, right? Mm-hmm. So he's one of my favorite quarterbacks, and Butch likes to throw shade at him, but I ride with Brees. He's on my list of top 10. Probably he might even be a top 5 quarterback for me of all time.
So talking about this game with the 49ers specifically, is he kind of on that level of concern for you? Because I think when we're laying out what might bother us about, you know, the 49ers' chances against the New Orleans Saints, I think Michael Thomas is one. Alvin Kamara probably two.
Right.
And then you start looking at some of the guys on the defense, you know, their ability to limit the run game, that interior is playing really well for them.
Sure.
But then Drew Brees is kind of taking we're not saying like Brees is going to slice and dice us.
Yeah, 5 years ago, that would have been the first name out of anybody's mouth is Drew Brees.
Is that a bad thing?
Well, I mean, look, I think he's been hurt, and I think he got hurt earlier this year. And I think you know what to expect from Drew Brees. And there's the book on how to deal with Drew Brees, and then there's the book on how not to deal with Drew Brees. And it's not specific to Drew Brees. It's specific to any quarterback. Can you get pressure on him? Because if you get pressure on him, then he doesn't have time. And then if he doesn't have time, that offense it ain't going to work. So it's not Drew Brees-centric. It's what you would do with any quarterback who's not a running quarterback. Drew Brees has got, obviously, nice pocket awareness, a nice pocket presence, but he's just as susceptible to a ferocious pass rush as anybody.
For sure.
And I don't think Drew Brees has seen anything like the 49ers are getting cooked up for
him
this weekend.
Especially with their ability to, you know, we immediately want to talk about Eric Armstead and Nick Bosa, but think about what they do in the middle, right? Like DJ Jones and DeForest Buckner. I think that's going to be a big key to this game. And you look at the injury report, you know, Taron Armstead, a guy that I mentioned earlier, this is an all-pro tackle, a stud, right?
Yeah, and now you're beats out, yeah.
Yeah, you can't replace that with really anybody. And now you have to see a Nick Bosa in this game. So I think there's some advantage there. But we talked about earlier, you know, you don't cut out a guy like Michael Thomas. He's going to get his. This guy's Drew Brees, like, I think he's caught, this is a stat I heard earlier, that he's caught like 85% of his contested passes thrown his way. So even when he's covered 8 out of 10 times he's going to catch the football, which is just...
That's filthy. Yeah, that's statistical pornography is what that is.
That sounds made up. Right. You know, and so the key, I think, because the Saints offense, I mean, are you really worried about Jared Cook killing you?
I'll tell you this much. I'm not worried about Jared Cook killing me, but I'm worried about Jared Cook on third down. And I'm worried about Jared Cook in the red zone. Jared Cook, it took him a little while to get comfortable in this offense. It's a pretty complicated offense. Think about what Jared Cook was able to do with Derek Carr last year. I've been banging Jared Cook on the pod the last couple of weeks because we figured it was only going to be a matter of time. Jared Cook, the last 4 or 5 games, he's started to get real comfortable and getting in a nice symmetry with Drew Brees, and Drew Brees likes to have himself a good pass-catching tight end.
But it's weird because it's not like we saw last week the usage of tight ends with the Ravens, right? Still, I mean, it seemed like they hurt the 49ers pretty badly, but that's what the Ravens do. So it's different having to limit three guys as opposed to one guy with Jared Cook. But the guy that scares me, another one that I feel like if we were talking about this game earlier in the season, it would be you have to stop Alvin Kamara.
Right.
That's the guy that's gonna really hurt you. Where I feel like this is the game where hopefully you stick a Fred Warner, maybe a Dre Greenlaw, or maybe even a Jimmy Ward or something like that on this guy, and you say, all right, let's stop him first, and then if Michael Thomas goes and gets his against Richard Sherman or whatever the case, like that's just something you have to live with.
Most defenses coordinators will tell you going into a game, they just want to make a team one-dimensional. They're going to focus on stopping something. And I think the 49ers, even though they've been historically great from a pass defense standpoint, I think, and because of that, more to the point, that'll kind of take care of itself. And what I mean by that is the focus should be on Alvin Kamara, okay? And obviously in passing down situations, getting pressure with Breeze with four, that's going to be paramount. But if you sell out to stop Alvin Kamara, that means Drew Breeze has to throw, right? And then that's when your pass rushers can go pin their ears back and go get them. Michael Thomas is just going to get his. About Jared Cook for just real 1 second, Tommy. This is what Jared Cook has done the last 4 weeks. 6 catches for 74 yards, 2 catches for 33 yards, but did score a touchdown. 6 catches for 99 yards and a touchdown. 3 catches for 85 yards. That was last week against Atlanta. So this is a stark contrast to earlier in the year. You know, 2 catches, 37 yards. 1 catch, 7 yards. Yeah. 3 catch, 21 yards. The last month, Jared Cook started to get real comfortable in this offense, and it just adds another dimension to worry about.
Michael, did you pick him up on the waiver wire? Did you waiver wire boy him?
Well,
because I think he was available.
I put in a claim.
Yeah.
I didn't get him though. I put in the claim
because you're at the top. So you know, you got to pick and choose when you get your waiver.
Exactly. You know how we do it. Gotcha. By the way, the Michael Thomas. Thank you. You know.
Yeah, I know.
He's like, can you be a 42-year-old prodigy? He's like, well, once a prodigy, always a prodigy, right? That's my fantasy, my Yahoo profile. Well, I put the prodigy. I literally did that literally like 20 years ago.
When people were asking, so I knew you were the prodigy, right? When people were asking in the draft, and I'm like, who's the prodigy? I'm like, I don't know. It's a mystery.
Remember we told Lucas it was Nahigian?
It's the legend of the prodigy. Yeah.
Yeah, because in the draft chat, and Lucas is all, who the F is the prodigy? And I'm like, hey, our boss, by the way, is Matt Nahigian. I was like, hey, Lucas, it's Nahigian. And then he's like, Lucas immediately caped up. He's like, oh, hey, I'm sorry, Matt. Yeah. You know, like, thought he was talking to the boss. And then he tried to play it off like, oh, no, I knew it was you. I was like, stop. No, you didn't. Yeah. You got caught slipping. All right, Michael Thomas, we know he's going to eat. But last week, pretty interesting. At Atlanta, 6 catches, 48 yards for Michael Thomas on 8 targets. Now, for any receiver, okay, that's a decent week at the office. When you consider, though, what he did leading up to this game, Carolina, 10 catches, 101 yards and a touchdown. At Tampa Bay, 8 catches, 114 yards and a touchdown. Home to Atlanta, 13 catches, 152 yards. Arizona, 11 for 112 and a tug. At Chicago, 9 for a buck 31. That was with Teddy Bridgewater. At Jacksonville, 8 for 89. Versus Tampa, 11 for 182 and 2 touchdowns. Mm. Michael Thomas has been on a freaking tear. In my opinion, Tommy, Michael Thomas, we need to take away the one of the and just say Michael Thomas, the best wide receiver in the NFL.
I think there's,
and I don't even think it's close.
Really, I think there's a little bit of a conversation for Nuke, just because he's so good, man.
He is.
He's fantastic in my opinion. But I'm not going to argue with you. Incredible nickname too, Can't Guard Mike. That's just like his Twitter name, Can't Guard Mike.
I mean, because like, let's be real.
Yeah,
you can't guard Mike.
And so, what are you satisfied if you say like the 49ers win this game and Michael Thomas had X yards receiving?
If you hold him under 100 yards,
yeah,
you've done a very nice job against Michael Thomas.
That's crazy.
If you can keep him out of the end zone.
That's how dominant he's been this
season. If you hold Michael Thomas to 8 catches for 90 yards and no TDs, you're going to win the football game. No doubt.
Do you think Richard Sherman can do that? Is he the guy in this conversation?
Well, I mean, they use Michael Thomas all over the place. He plays in the slot. He plays a Z. He plays a Y. I mean, he plays everywhere.
I feel like outside of maybe an AJ Green, Michael Thomas has kind of been that first hybrid, like big slot player. Yeah. That can shift down, and now you're seeing it almost everywhere in the NFL. Every team has that larger slot receiver, maybe except for the 49ers. They use Kittle out there a lot. But
well, I think, too, it was imperative that they use Thomas in the slot because Drew Brees doesn't really throw out of the hash marks very much unless it's out of the backfield.
Yeah.
Like, Drew Brees isn't throwing, you know, 25-yard out routes on an eight-step drop. That's just not who Drew Brees is. You know, he just doesn't have that kind of arm. He likes those high-percentage throws. You know, I wonder what percentage throws of Drew Brees this year have been beyond 20 yards. Probably less than 10%.
Yeah,
less than 10%. I mean, seriously, Drew Brees short passing all day. It's obviously those principles were the origins were of the West Coast offense. Bill Walsh, short, quick passing game, high percentage throws. And you know, when I was a kid, obviously, I still have a very rudimentary understanding of football. But even as a kid, it was so plain for me to see, Tommy, the way the 49ers would operate with those quick slants, the short passes, I would think to myself, why don't more teams do that?
Yeah.
You got three downs to get 10 yards. If you can get seven of them on first down with a quick throw, you're in great shape. It was nonsensical to me why teams were always trying to throw the football down the field. Yeah, you want to take some shots and make the defense respect.
Take the top off the defense.
Yeah, that way they can't.
Yeah,
thank you. Yeah, thank you. But that way they can't press you and you know, and play you in man all day. I get that. But it's high percentage throws. Like, keep the chains moving, baby, and keep keep your defense on the sideline.
Yeah.
It's kind of an extension of the running game. That's kind of the way they use Kamara, too.
So I asked you this earlier, and I want to see from the people on the text line and, you know, anyone that wants to give us a shout is, who would you rather have, you know, Michael Thomas or George Kittle? Because I think if we're flipping the script and we're in New Orleans right now and we're talking about this game, and the one guy that they probably want to limit is George Kittle for the 49ers, right? And you talk about the injuries that they have to the linebacking core and some of the players that they have in the secondary, like Marcus Lattimore, their best defensive back. He's probably not guarding George Kittle in the slot, right? He's probably out on the outside. So
he's going to get a healthy dose of Emmanuel Sanders.
And so you know who the Saints recently signed this week? That's kind of their new linebacker.
Manti Te'o.
Yeah. Manti Te'o. So is he guarding George Kittle?
Because of the injuries to Klein and Kiko Alonso, the underneath stuff should be available to George Kittle all day.
Yeah.
This should be a huge George Kittle game. Absolutely.
I completely agree with you. I think this is the game you lean on him the most, and I think Kyle Shanahan hopefully has been in the lab in Florida all week drawing up stuff for Kittle.
Clarify your question. Is this which player would I rather have for this game, or which player would I rather have going forward in their NFL careers?
NFL careers. Let's say we're doing the league starts over and you're on the clock and those are the two top guys.
And you could have Michael
board.
Thomas or you could have George Kittle.
Yeah.
I'm going Michael Thomas.
Yeah.
Chilled Not a Body text line 95795. You can have one, George Kittle or Michael Thomas. We'll tally up the results of that. Also, here's what Robert Saleh said about the best receiver in pro football.
His foot speed and his quickness is up there. It's pretty elite, but he's so strong at the point of attack to catch the football. You know, he's just an all-around receiver, savvy route runner, and just a lot of respect for him. Got great hands, and he does well after the catch, too. So he's a problem. They obviously try to get him the ball, and we got to do our best. All 11 got to try to stop him.
All right, there you go, Robert Saleh. All right, coming up on the other side, who would you rather have, George Kittle or Michael Thomas? Both explosive playmakers, both play different positions, granted, but they have equally important impacts on the game. We'll talk about that. Also, I think there's a little bit of an X factor. Butch and I got into it a little bit last night, and it's something that the 49ers are going to have to deal with. I'll tell you what that is on the other side as well. It's Tommy Call. It's Ryan Covey. We're just shimmy shaking along on a Saturday here. I just got all, I really like got really excited there. I'm shimmy shaking along on 95.7 The Game.
Now back to 95.7 The Game.
All right, by the way, Chill Not Body text line, a resounding win for Michael Thomas, so there you
really?
Go. Yeah, man.
I'm a little surprised by that.
Well, if anybody wants to take up for George Kittle, 888-957-9570. I think, you know, Kittle's so important in the run game, though.
Like, yeah.
That's the thing. It's not, you're not just getting a pass-catching tight end, you're getting a terrific blocking tight end. And then, obviously, what he does emotionally and spiritually for this team.
Can you smell what the nuns? Oh, cookie!
Right.
Yeah, everything he does around the facility. I mean, he's a guy to be around specifically. But how I'm imagining, you know, if you want to start game playing here, how I'm imagining my offense is I feel like I can, to an extent, get a guy that would somewhat smallly replicate what Michael Thomas can do in an offense as just a number one wide receiver. Where George Kittle, I don't think there's really any player like him in the NFL.
I think that's a fair statement to make.
So, you know, one of my favorite things to talk about in football is like death by formation, right? How you put George Kittle into your offense in motion and create that mismatch, because no linebackers running with him.
Right.
No defensive back is bigger and stronger than him.
Well, that's why a great tight end creates the ultimate mismatch. Yeah. Obviously, linebacker's not fast enough, DB's not big enough.
And personally, like we talk about the draft stuff I do, I think tight end, outside of obviously quarterback, is the toughest position to evaluate in football.
Yeah, didn't we think the kid in Detroit was supposed, TJ Hockenson, wasn't he supposed to be good?
Well, I'm saying you can still let that thing, you know, marinate a little bit, but look at a guy like
O.J. Howard?
Yeah, O.J. Howard. Like, you saw him in the college football playoff, and you're like, this guy's a god.
Right.
Like, this guy's, like, the next better than Gronk, and now he's a...
Jameis is his quarterback.
True.
Like, that's a problem.
Yeah. Shout out to JD.
Yeah. Oh, I got you. Oh, you want a little JD anyway? Yeah. I got you, dog. No problem.
That's a problem.
That's not a problem. I got you covered. Travel safe down to New Orleans, by the way, JD. He was jumping on a bird, him and Whitey locking down Warriors this week, 9-1 today. That's an early call on Saturday morning. So 4 hours of dubs right now?
Yeah.
Woo!
I had the holiday party last night, too.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You guys got dressed up. You and your lady, huh?
Yeah. We got the ugly sweaters, all that fun stuff.
Nice.
I kept it. I was a mature. I was a grown man. I was a professional. You know, I didn't get after it too hard.
I hosted a show with Butch last night. We got out here about 11, and I actually did a little bit of Ubering on the way home. Made a little bit of extra scratch, got to the house. I actually cooked like bacon and eggs when I got home last night.
Really?
Oh, so good. I love breakfast food. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little breakfast.
I cooked breakfast at like 1 in the morning. It was great.
Yeah.
And then I had to get up early for the Liverpool game, but it was one of those where like I was still so tired. So I kept like waking up, falling back asleep, going, oh, they scored. Cool. Yeah. Falling back asleep, oh, they scored again. Cool. All right, now I'm good. I'm asleep.
I would say like early morning English Premier League, that background noise, it's almost second to none.
It's the
best. You know, because me, like, I'm not a diehard soccer fan, but I do really enjoy 6 in the morning. That's when I usually wake up 5 through the weekday. So 6 in the morning, I'm just kind of like waking up. Yeah, I'm a 5 a.m.er, man.
Damn.
Yeah.
Look at you.
Yeah.
I go to bed at like, I used to host till 1 a.m. Back in the day. So like I would get home at 2, and then after a show, unless you're zonked, like you usually got the adrenaline flowing a little bit. So
you
got to unwind a bit.
Yeah.
So, excuse me, I used to go to bed at like 3-4 in the morning. Now I get in bed about 1. Usually. And I come home like I want to play FIFA and chill and kick my feet up. I sit on that couch for 5 minutes. I'm asleep.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's the worst. I'm an old man.
Washed King.
Yeah. Hashtag Washed King. Yeah. Hey, but as long as I got Nuck Nuck waiting for me at home, I'm straight.
Yeah.
Let's go to David out in San Ramon. What's up, David?
What's going on, fellas? Like the show so far.
Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, I think something that's not being talked about a lot. I was listening to some podcasts. On the Saints Niner game is that although the Saints got key guys out on their old line, they are ridiculously deep when it comes to lineman play. And Sean Payton's not one to adjust and go with a big heavy jumbo set to deal with that pass rush and just kind of cut the Niners down the field in small chunks, but eventually getting there, like you were just mentioning about Jared Cook. I think that's something to watch out for. That's going to be real interesting. And if they go with a big jumbo heavy set, they can definitely use Taysom Hill, which is their switch army knife, to just power down the field. His combine numbers, his numbers are similar to Christian McCaffrey. I mean, that dude is ridiculously athletic.
Yeah, it's crazy. Hey, I appreciate the call, David, and thanks for checking in. Thanks for the kind words. I'm glad you brought up Taysom Hill because this is a guy that they will deploy on Sunday.
Yeah.
If you have enough skill and you can bring an element to the game plan that merits taking one of the best quarterbacks ever to play off of the field in a red zone scenario, you officially have something, right?
Yeah.
And Sean Payton's not a fool.
Yeah.
You know, like if you're taking Drew Brees like out of the huddle, you know, when the Saints are on offense, you better have a damn good reason.
So
and Taysom Hill's that reason.
I have a little bit of a take on Taysom Hill.
Ooh.
So when you're playing backyard football as a kid, would there be no better player? Like, say you're a little kid. Taysom Hill's the guy you want to be, right? He's going to catch the football. He's going to run the football. He's going to pass the football.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah, I mean, Taysom Hill, like, that's every little kid's dream.
Yeah, he's that little
to be like the ultimate backyard football player.
He's the kid in grade school that was always the first pick. Yeah. Right? Like, oh, you gotta get Taysom.
Yeah.
Taysom's sick.
I would personally say, like, outside of my favorite team, Taysom Hill's a top five favorite player of mine.
Just really?
Yeah, so watching him at BYU, it just absolutely unbelievable. I mean, they barely passed the football, and to see him running and doing his thing, I mean, and just how Sean Payton has used him, I mean, it's just,
so
it's unbelievable.
What's Taysom Hill's ceiling in the NFL, do you think?
I don't think he's ever going to be like a starting quarterback. I don't think he's the heir apparent to Drew Brees. I don't think that. I think he's doing his thing perfectly. He has to be in the right organization, the right style of offense. I mean, I think he's ideally, like, if you're really going to use him, if you're going to say keep him at one position, he's probably like your slot tight end type of guy.
Okay.
That's what it is.
What is he, like 6'5"?
Around there.
6'6", I mean,
he's a little thick boy too. Yeah. So he, you know, he's got a little junk in the trunk.
Sure.
Yeah, and he can run.
Look at the body.
Look
at that bubble butt.
It's impressive. I mean, if you're a football fan, I don't know how you watch that guy and don't be like, wow, you know?
Well, here's what Robert Saleh said about Taysom Hill. This is great sound, by the way. We got a lot of mileage out of this last night.
I mean, they put him at tight end, they put him at receiver, running back, quarterback. He's not just a decoy. You know, they get him involved, they give him the ball. Even as a receiver, he blocks his tail off. Got a lot of respect for him, the way he plays, and the effort, and the standard that he plays with. So we do have to be aware of where he is when he's on and off the field, and of course, obviously, not panicking, but make sure we do have a plan for him.
There you go, 49ers D coordinator Robert Saleh. And just to kind of look at what Taysom Hill's done so far this year and the way that they've deployed him, he's only thrown 3 passes this year, but he's got 16 rushing attempts for 127 yards. Had a touchdown last week against Atlanta. And keep in mind, this is something I don't think enough people have mentioned, Tommy. The Saints are coming off of a little bit of extra rest. I mean, they haven't played since Thanksgiving, so they've had a little extra day off, and they've had this Niners game circled for a while. This is a pretty important game.
Yeah.
And Butch brought this up this week, and I think it's interesting. You know, Sean Payton, he's got the one Super Bowl, and, you know, obviously on his resume, the Bounty Gate thing is always going to be around, you know, the year suspension. Clearly, the fact that it was a non-starter, it was a done deal, that it was never even in doubt that he was going to be back as the Saints coach after that, says all you need to know about what kind of coach Sean Payton is.
Yeah.
Like, you can embarrass the organization and get suspended for a year, and we're still going to bring you back, no questions asked. That says what kind of coach Sean Payton is. But he's had to hear the last couple of years about all the young offensive minds. And, you know, he's one of the pioneers, you know,
OG.
As far as the modern era of passing, you know, the 65% completion percentage, right? Like, taking those West Coast offensive principles to another level. Sean Payton's been that dude. And I almost feel like, you know, because everybody wants that hot next young thing, everybody talks about Sean McVay, or, you know, because what Andy Reid was doing with Patrick Mahomes last year was, oh, Andy Reid. I feel like Sean Payton probably is, you know, thinking, hey, remember me? I'm pretty good too.
It's weird too, because you don't ever see around the NFL season, like the off season after, what is it called, Black Monday. After that day, you don't hear the Sean Payton coaching tree really come out.
Right.
You know, it's. I bet you this season we're gonna hear about the Kyle Shanahan one, and last year was Sean McVay. Everybody, Zach Taylor, you know, is getting head coaching jobs in the NFL. Everybody wants to be that guy. Where Sean Payton, I mean, off the top of my head, the only guy I can think of is Campbell, their tight ends coach,
Dan Campbell, yeah.
Yeah, he was briefly like the Dolphins interim coach.
Yeah, because, Greg Williams, I mean, he obviously, like that, you know, he went on to be a coordinator again, but never head coach.
So it's weird that we never really see that, and I think just people have been so ingrained of who Sean Payton is. He's, you know, even steady all the way around. But think about, like, finding a guy, like, how much scouting and kind of talent evaluation does it take to watch a BYU game and see this quarterback and be like, I can use him differently.
Right.
I can use him, and he's going to help our team win and win division titles. I'm confident enough to, like you said, pull Drew Brees off the field and let him take snaps, because it's going to make our offense better.
I could be wrong about this, but I thought Adam Gase was maybe a quarterback coach in New Orleans. I might be wrong about that. I could be thinking of a different Bears coordinator.
Joe Vitt that's their general manager. I think Adam Gase is like married to his daughter.
Yeah, I want to say, and I could be wrong. I could be thinking of a totally different Bears coordinator of yesteryear that had a connection to Sean Payton as the Saints quarterback coach. But you're right either way. And yeah, definitely this offseason, teams are going to be coming a knocking for Robert Saleh and guys on Kyle Shanahan's staff. Absolutely. I'm glad you brought up coaching vacancies. And by the way, you are listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and HD1 San Francisco Radio.com Sports Station. It's Ryan Covey and Tommy Call with you for another hour. Brian Peacock's going to join us in the 4 o'clock hour from Lockdown 49ers podcast. We'll give you a little fantasy football insight as well. And you know what? We'll have a little sesh. Think a little puff pass session. I think we probably should, right?
Yeah.
You know what? It's too bad. I mean, I love that we're having Brian Peacock on. That's my heart. Mm-hmm. It'd be kind of fun, though, to actually do puff pass at 420. But, you know, maybe we'll just push it back a little bit. We'll just push it back, right? I know. I'm like 42 years old. I'm like, hey, 420, dude. Jackass. But as far as coaching vacancies, Jason Garrett, like the fact that he was even allowed to get back on the plane from Chi-Town kind of blew my mind. Mm-hmm. And Jerry Jones on the fan yesterday in Dallas, that was all time. Like
all
he was
time.
In no kind of mood.
Have you ever had a moment like that in your radio career? Like where someone's clapped back at you as the host?
I mean, I've had a couple of like borderline terse exchanges, but I'm not coming down people's road like that because if somebody's coming on my show as a guest, they're not getting compensated.
Gotcha.
So why would I want to be disrespectful to him?
But did you think that?
Hold on, let me finish. I just think Jerry Jones was in a pissy mood because his team just got whooped up on yet again.
Yeah.
Like if Mitchell Trubisky torched your defense, you'd probably be in a pretty bad mood too.
Yeah.
Right?
He's like, I would love to take it out on you.
Right.
You know, if I came on this program.
But think about this. Jerry Jones, not only does he do a weekly hit with the media, what owner does this? No owner does this.
No one.
Jerry Jones talks to the media once a week. He loves it. He goes on two radio shows in Dallas. Like, this dude can't get enough of his own voice. It's like he knows the clock's ticking, right? And he's so desperate to get another Lombardi trophy and just to make sure that the name Jerry Jones will never die, right?
It won't.
And it won't.
Jerry World. Yep.
But damn if this guy doesn't walk around like the Dallas Cowboys have won 3 Super Bowl titles in the last 10 years. Like, the way that he carries himself and the way that he talks about the Cowboys, you would think they were the Patriots. Seriously.
So,
and spoiler alert, they're not.
Yeah, so I'm going to my girlfriend's father, diehard Cowboys fan, has a Cowboys tattoo.
The logo. Team tattoos, in or out? Yeah.
Yeah, I was like you're really going to do that? It was a relatively recent thing. And
that's a bold strategy, Cotton.
His take on it, because you know he wants to talk about them firing Garrett every single day, and he made a really good point. It's like the Cowboys, they don't lose to teams like the Jets, right? They lost 3 in a row. They lost that game against the Jets. She's like, that was it for me. Like, don't let him on the plane then. And the fact that it's this long, it's Jerry Jones's fault, right? Because at this point, are you really blaming Jason Garrett?
No, there's a lack of institutional control from top to bottom. I mean, there's so much blame to go around for everyone. What's so funny in all this, though, and you know, because obviously as a Bears fan, I was texting Guru, breaking his balls.
Yeah.
And
man, he must get a bad.
But what Guru, well, he puts himself out there. And yeah. I mean, we all absolutely love Daryl the Guru Johnson. But what he had over me, and there's no taking it away, was, yeah, well, we still going to the offs. And he's probably right, even though they're 6-7. I mean, what they have remaining, home to the Rams, at Philly, home to Washington. Mm. Obviously, the game at Philly, the winner, that's probably going to win the division. But Philly's got awful. I mean, they're just terrible.
Fins
right now.
Fins up, baby.
Circling the drain. Yeah right? Y'all lost to the Dolphins. Okay?
Thank you. Shout out.
By the way, I just wanted to rack this real quick. If you miss this Jerry Jones sound, if you're a Cowboy hater, like, listen on up. This is for you.
How about them Cowboys? Yeah!
Not that one. This one.
Jerry, how you doing this morning?
Hey, guys. Morning.
Morning to you. All right, Jerry, you come on every week, win or lose. You answer questions. You know the Tolos and the Cowboys fans want answers today. What answer do you have for how this team is playing right now?
We're not playing very well.
Are you embarrassed? Are you embarrassed as an organization about how the team is playing?
Get your damn act together yourself. Okay. Now, we're going to have a good visit this morning, but settle down just a little bit.
I mean, as a Cowboys fan,
we've
Jerry.
Got a lot to go over, and I'm going with your question, but I'm going to give you the answers I want to give you this morning, and I don't like your attitude to come in. I've been traveling all night, and I don't have the patience to jack with you today.
I understand that, Jerry. I'm just saying, like, emotionally.
Let's get with it and let's ask some questions.
All right.
That kind of question.
And it would go on. Jerry had dropped a couple F-bombs and just he was in a
get your
a
act
way.
Together.
Yeah,
I mean, that,
right?
That's
and
an
we're going to have
clap.
A good visit. Yeah. We're going to have a good visit. Really? It doesn't sound like we're going to have a good visit, Jerry. And it's the way that Jerry spoke right there was a guy that's used to telling everybody else in the room how things are going to go, right? Like, it's not, hey, you know, let's have a good visit. No, we're going to have a good visit because Jerry hath decreed it to be so. You know what I'm saying? And like, I mean, you know, when you're Jerry Jones, there's a lot, you got a lot of yes men in your life anyway, but it just seems like that dude rolls around and everybody is just prepared to do his bidding at the drop of a hat.
And how that host, I don't know his name, reacted where he was just like, okay. Like when he was like, get your act together. You know, he didn't say anything wrong, really. The question was not even close to being out of line. It was somewhat of a softball where Jerry could have easily just thrown out some cliches and everybody went on their way.
Right.
Jerry just came off the top rope.
Right. And you could tell it was an old man, kind of cranky, had been traveling late the night before. His team just lost to the Bears after losing to the Bills, after losing to the Patriots, after barely beating the Lions, and after losing to the Vikings. They were 5-3 after they beat the Giants back on November 4th. And since then, they've dropped 3 out of 4, and they are an absolute dumpster fire. And by the way, like Dak Prescott, you look at the yardage totals, right? You know, at 355 versus Buffalo, 334 versus the Bears. Those were the hollowest passing numbers, like, ever. I mean, it was all fourth quarter. The Bills and the Bears were both in full prevent mode. Like, when the game actually mattered, Dak basically did nothing. And Dak Prescott's the kind of guy, Tommy, where, you know, when he first came up, I'm like, oh, is this sustainable? I'm like, oh, he's pretty good, man. I like Dak Prescott, but I'm like, eh. And then it was, okay, yeah, see, I don't like Dak. Dak's not good. And then this year it was like, oh, damn, Dak's back.
Yeah.
You know, they got a good offense. They got Gallup. Obviously, you got a great running game. Like, you know, if you give this dude any semblance of targets, you know, they draft Gallup, they go out and get Amari Cooper in the trade, you're like, okay, Dak's looking pretty good. But then he just has games where he's not accurate. He's not comfortable in the pocket. And
he's eerily similar to me to a guy like Jimmy Garoppolo, where I think if Dak had Kyle Shanahan as his coach, he would be such a better player, where I think that Kyle Shanahan has elevated the game of Garoppolo.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
To somewhat of a level where I think on paper, you look at the Cowboys roster, right, where even on their offense specifically, Zeke, Amari, Michael Gallup, who's been a great player, like on paper, that roster is probably more talent-filled than the 49ers, right? But their teams are so much...
I don't know, though.
You don't think so?
I don't
I'm
know.
Talking about star power here. Like, they don't have, Ezekiel...
Offensively, I'll probably give you the nod, but defensively...
Yeah, no, I'm talking strictly offense.
Strictly offense?
Strictly offense.
Okay,
yeah.
All right, strictly offense, yeah, clear. I'll give you that.
But what I'm saying is I'm not saying the Cowboys are better. I'm just saying what Kyle Shanahan gets out of his team is so far and away better than what Jason Garrett's been able to get out of the Cowboys.
That's a great point.
Where it's just that's where you see kind of the true effect of coaching, where if you didn't know anything about football and you were just explained players of how good Ezekiel Elliott is, Amari Cooper, up and down. I mean, they have Tyron Smith, that offensive line, Zach Martin, all these guys that are like – studs, right? So that every NFL team would really want. And it just doesn't get done because of that cloud over Dallas of a Jason Garrett, of a Jerry Jones. And it's obviously like, I'm sure 49er fans are just laughing up a storm at it and they have every right to do so. But it's just, it's crazy to me because if you put a competent coach on that team, that of course you could put the Cowboys as like a Super Bowl contender just on talent.
Right.
I think that on offense, where that's the name of the game in 2019, right?
Absolutely.
You have to have that firepower, and there's no shortage of it with Dallas.
Do you think if Jason Garrett, let's say the Cowboys, I think it's NFC title game or you're fired for Jason Garrett this year. I think not even like them winning, quote, winning the division and winning a wild card game would be enough.
Yeah.
And the reality is, whoever they play in the wild card, it's either probably going to be Seattle or San Francisco.
Yikes.
They're going to have that'll be a tough afternoon for them.
Yeah.
Even if they win that game, though, the odds are, bottom line, the odds are Jason Garrett's getting fired. You think he gets another head coaching gig?
Maybe. I don't.
Okay. Picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.